and a warm welcome to Celebrating Success. Thank you for joining me. I'm Pauline Barclay, author of 9 published books. My passion is to write about events that happen in life and change everything for those involved, as well as those caught up in the maelstrom. I want my characters to sit at your side, steal your attention, and sweep you up into their story. Stories that will bring tears to your eyes, have you laughing out loud, and sometimes what they share with you will stay in your heart for a very long time. My books are available in Kindle and or paperback and are all available from Amazon. Today I'm delighted to be once again chatting with Ian Thompson. Ian is an award-winning author, born in Blackburn, Lancashire on Halloween 1949. He was born into a different world where coal was delivered by horse and cart. Ian's best-selling trilogy is set in his own childhood town of Blackburn. It was through these books and Ian's writing that caught the eye of Patricia Price, who had a story to tell. Patricia approached Ian to talk about writing the true story of her father, the Blackburn entrepreneur Tommy Ball. It's a rags-to-riches story, with more twists than an airpin bend. A story will bring out many emotions from admiration to disbelief and anger. So please sit back and enjoy meeting my wonderful guest. Hi, Ian. Isn't it lovely to see you again?
Yes, absolutely delightful to see you, Pauline. It's been quite a while.
It has been a while. In fact, I can't believe the last time we had a chat, would you believe, was May the 12th?
I thought it was more recently than that, but there you are. Time flies.
I know. 4 months. What a whiz time. Well, last time we were chatting here, we talked about your Blackburn trilogy, which we know was brilliant. And listeners, please listen to the podcast of the 12th of May if you missed that one. But today, we're going to talk about your new book, The Rise and Fall of Tommy Ball. Now, the title's interesting, but the book is not fiction, is it, Ian?
No, it's not. I'll tell you how it came about. It came about as a result of the Blackburn trilogy, which obviously in Blackburn itself gathered quite a following, and they did very well indeed. And one person who had read the whole trilogy contacted me to say that she had been trying to write up a biography of her father, a certain Tommy Ball, and didn't feel she was up to it. And because she'd enjoyed the books in the Blackburn trilogy, she wondered if I'd be interested in writing it up for her. Now, at first, I was a bit cagey about this because I haven't written a biography before. So we decided, I didn't want to put her off completely, so we decided that we would test it out. And we arranged a meeting through FaceTime. And Pat told me a little bit about the story.
Now Tommy Pat is Tommy Ball's daughter, isn't she?
Yes, she is. And Tommy was very much a Blackburn character when I was growing up. He began as a rag and bone man, going about the streets of Blackburn with stuff in an old pram, and worked his way up by sheer hard work to becoming a very, very wealthy tycoon. He was well known too for his contributions to charity. Now, some of those contributions, I don't doubt, had tax benefits for him. And it certainly helped him get around some problems with Sunday training. But you can't take away from the guy the fact that he'd worked, it was a rags to riches story.
But he's not just a rags-to-riches story. He's also very well known, particularly in your area. But Tommy Ball was really a master of shoes.
He was, and there was a kind of signature to the shoes. You could always tell if they were Tommy Ball shoes because there would be holes punched in the back. Because in his warehouses, the holes would be punched in the back and the pair would be tied together with a piece of string. So you could hang them over a rack. So there was no need for boxes, shoe boxes, and so on. This is one of the ways in which he could cut the prices. And also, unlike socks in a washing machine, the pair would always be together. You know, they wouldn't go astray. So he as a result of this and other maneuvers, he managed to sell good shoes quite cheaply. All my school shoes came from Tommy Ball's. So he's a very well-known figure in Blackburn. Now, as Pat's story progressed, I became quite fascinated by the fact that there was another side to Tommy Ball, and his family life was quite a different matter. Even as a very small child, Pat was kept off school to work on the firm. He was a wife beater. It's quite a grim story, in fact. So, as well as rags to riches, we have a Jekyll and Hyde story. And I was a bit cagey because one doesn't like to speak ill of the dead. But the detail became quite fascinating, so I agreed to take the program on. And we talked weekly, and eventually, the book was published.
And that was published this summertime, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
And it's available in all copies. It's Kindle, paperback, and hardback.
That's right. Yeah. It has a rather jaunty cover, which I was very pleased with. The business of finding a cover is quite fun, but I found this on Shutterstock and bought the license for it, and I think it's eye-catching
I
because it's
think
just.
it is eye-catching, Ian, but also I think one of the things about the story is it is a very incredible, it's an incredible man, is Tommy Ball, because as you pointed out at the beginning of our chat, he was a rag and bone man. He used to collect old things and particularly shoes and repair them and then sell them on. But this man, he breathed success. He wanted success at as you quite rightly said, at any price. He did get success. He was a very wealthy man when he died. But the story in between, which is in your book, is as much about his children, his wife, and his success.
Yes, it's about how success affected his family, really. At first, they were part of it, helping with the repair. When he was selling clothes, they would be involved in washing and ironing any clothes that he picked up. I think one fascinating moment is that he used to scour the births, marriages, and deaths pages and turn up at the house of someone who'd been recently bereaved and asked if he could have the clothes of the cadaver. And on one occasion he caused great offence by doing this. But I know from my own experience the business of dealing with the clothes and belongings of someone who's died is something that you tend to put off and off and off because it's a grim sort of job. So to have somebody do it in one fell swoop, as it were, could be a relief, I suppose, to some people.
But I mean, I read the book, as you know, Ian, but he looked at all different angles to make money and he left no stone unturned if he thought he could make money out of it.
That's right, even down to inventing a lotion that was supposed to make your hair grow back. So there is no record of how successful that was, but I'm a skeptical.
Looking back, having written the book, obviously you learnt a lot about the local hero to Blackburn. How do you feel now you've finished the book and it's out there in the market?
I was glad to have done it. It was a new experience. It was part biography, part journalism in a way, because I had to add some research of my own to what Pat told me in our weekly meet Zoom FaceTime meetings. She sent me lots of newspaper cuttings because Tommy was very well known in the town. And I think the important thing about my part in the enterprise was that I tried very hard to be fair, although there was much that genuinely shocked me in the account.
I think from his behaviour to his family and his wife particularly, and eventually his children, because from what I gather from the book, Ian, that the nation who bought his shoes, who knew of him, saw this wonderful entrepreneur who had a wonderful story to tell from rags to riches and was very benevolent looking after charities, yet he wasn't like that at all to his family.
Yeah, I think this might be the case with other driven people who have a public and a private side and bask in the advantages of fame, but really are monsters at home.
Yes, I think that can be the case, but he was very, very driven. And I mean, he really, to be honest with you, from what I've read on the book, is that he didn't really have a lot of time for his family because everything was in his head about success and making more and more money.
Yeah. Another factor that we haven't mentioned so far was his growing addiction and abuse of alcohol. Which I suppose brought out the mean side of the man. And I was just thinking as we were talking that there are other public figures who have gone from rags to riches and done a great deal for charity and yet had a very dark side to them. I'm thinking of the Greys, for instance,
yes.
who were good to their mother, like Tommy Ball.
yes, Tommy was very good to his mother, wasn't he?
Yeah, more so than to
at the cost to his wife and family.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So now the book's out there, Ian, and it's called The Rise and Fall of Tommy Ball by Ian Thompson and Patricia Price, because Patricia is Tommy's daughter.
That's right. She wanted to call it, at first she wanted to call it A Load of Balls. But she tried to be, except that I checked on Amazon. You don't want to have a clash with books that already exist. And there were several books about football.
Right.
So you don't want your potential purchasers to go to Amazon and see all these books about football towards the top and fail to scroll down and find our book. So there we are. So I came up with The Rise and Fall of Tommy Ball, which had the advantage of a little rhyme.
Yes, are we going to share the rhyme?
Well, Rise and Fall of Tommy Ball.
Oh, I'm with you. I better, sorry. I'm there. Now Rise and Fall of Tommy Ball is out there and I believe it's doing very well.
Doing very well indeed, yeah.
What are we doing now, Ian?
What we're doing now, by special request.
Well, don't mention names.
I dream of it. By special request, I am going back to the Lord Lyndon Fiskerton series. I thought I'd wrapped it all up, because if you remember at the end of Lord Lyndon's Aeneas Mirabilis, the final words were, "And they all lived happily ever after," because I've, like a Jane Austen novel, I've married everybody off. And Lord Lyndon has married the terrifying Dowager Countess of Skellingthorpe. So in order to carry on, there had to be a divorce.
Now, before you give us too much away, Ian, I just want to interrupt here and say, listeners, if you haven't read the Lord Lyndon's books, there are two. I know there's going to be three, but there's two at the moment out there. Please take them. They are fun books. I love them. Now you can carry on, Ian.
Yeah, this one's called Lord Lyndham's Aeneas Coronationis, which means there's a footnote that says it should really be annus, which is Latin for a year. So you had the annus horribilis and the annus mirabilis, the horrible year and the wonderful year. And both books were heavily influenced by COVID and Lord Lyndon's reactions to them. And they feature the cantankerous fifth Earl of Lyndon and his preposterously loyal butler, Fiskerton, who's very, very hard done by, but continues to serve. So I had to unravel the wedding, which has been quite fun because the grounds for divorce made me chuckle. I won't give anything away, but
No, please don't.
they are, as you might expect, quite outrageous. And what I'm doing now is that I take the Spectator magazine, and early in each issue is something called Portrait of the Week. And it's a kind of diary of the year, so it gives me ideas. So there are serious things like the budget and so on. But there are nice little details which I can use and incorporate. Like, for instance, did you know that at the beginning of this year, the firework display in Scarborough to commemorate the new year was cancelled because a walrus had turned up in Scarborough Harbour? This is quite disturbing. So yeah, and then again, I think it was in March, a loud boom was heard in Oxfordshire, Leicestershire, and Nottinghamshire, quite unexplained, and a lady wrote in to say that her cat looked up and went back to sleep. The cat was called Jones. I mean, these inconsequential things are all sort of beaten to the mill. There's a mixed metaphor. You grist to the mill. That's what.
And when are we hoping to see this book in?
Well,
No,
I will have.
no pressure from me, of course.
Of course not. I have to make sure that I have it ready for Christmas because these books are excellent stocking fillers.
Oh, I know I keep saying this, listeners, but do take a look at these books. They're fantastic. Ian, as always, it's a joy talking to you, and I've really enjoyed listening to about the rise and fall of Tommy Ball, and importantly, a new book coming out at the end of the year.
That will be three this year.
And I think next year we'll get off to a new start with talking about the latest book. What do you say?
Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for taking time to come and talk to me today. It's great always to talk to you. And let's catch up very soon.
Thank you very much for having me, Pauline. It's been great fun.
Great fun. Thanks, Ian. Catch up soon.
Bye
Bye.
bye.
Thank you, Ian. It's been great catching up again. And I hope you lovely listeners enjoyed finding out about the rise and fall of Tommy Ball and how Ian came to write the book. You can find out more about Ian and his books on his website, www.ianthompsonauthor.com. I'll spell that IANTHOMSONAUTHOR.com. Ian's books are available in Kindle and paperback and in hardback too, and all from Amazon. As always, a huge thank you for joining me, and I can't wait to share your company again very soon. And of course, you can listen to all my podcasts at paulinebarclay.podbean.com or on Spotify. As with all my podcasts, you are more than welcome to share them with your family and friends. I do hope you will. And finally, don't forget you can find out more about me on my website, paulinebarclay.co.uk. Until we meet again, I hope the sun is shining on your face and in your heart. See you soon. Ta-ta for now.